About a month ago, I was talking to Gary Koppelman, and of course, this is Corwin's father. And they visited over the years and always bless us with just being a part, him and his wife, Bev, and their children, Corwin's brothers and sisters that come. And they've just blessed us because they visit so often, come down and see Corwin and Katie, and then I always make sure they come here. So we were talking about a month ago in the back when they were here, and as Gary was talking, I said, "Gary, you need to come and share some Sunday morning." And we knew that Tears' party was coming up. I said, "Like in about a month, you're going to be back, so why not? Let's do this." And so I said, "Gary, tell your story, because what he accomplished. I'm going to read you a few things." He was very unlikely to accomplish these things. He'll share some of this, the obstacles that he overcame to become the national, he received the National Science Teaching Award, national, is inducted into the National Teachers Hall of Fame. He received the Presidential Award for Math and Science in Teaching and the Global Teacher Prize finalist. So, Gary, come up and tell us your story. Share what the Lord's done. Amen.
Oh, no. Oh, well, this will work. Well, praise the Lord. Just want you to know he does good things. Let your life songs be sung. Okay, that's the title. And it comes from Psalm 42:7. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me. A prayer to God of my life. And in 2 Corinthians 3:2, it says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men." Father, we just praise you for this morning, what you're doing already, for the confirmation in my heart, what you want to say and speak to this people. Lord, we just ask that you would just do a mighty work, Lord God, for you are the only one that can do it. We pray, Father, that you would take this tongue and Lord, let it be as the Holy Spirit would speak, not the inspiration of Gary, but the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Father, we give you praise and thanks for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to know that you are all now fifth graders, okay? You're all fifth graders. I'm a fifth grade teacher, okay? And so this here, you know, yes, praise the Lord, glory. Yes, come on. Okay, good. That's good. That's good. Now, you got to understand that fifth graders think differently than adults. And just wanting you to know that. And just thanks, Pastor Rick. Thanks, Fellowship of the Beloved. My heart is overwhelmed by what you guys have done in my life. You know, it's a special church for our family. From the tent meetings, yes, okay, to this building, God has been faithfully doing a work within this body of believers. Way out in the uttermost parts of the earth, I mean, this is further out than Blissfield, Michigan is. I mean, you guys got to go up and over hills and around curves, and you don't have straight roads. You know, in directions. You just need to go over here. And it's like, right. So anyways, I'm going to be sharing some things, but it's from the Friday night pizza gatherings. Remember? Birthday parties, men's advances, their relationships are built. You know, thanks, you know, for praying, because what Rick shared, it's because you guys have been praying for this guy at various times, and I just want to tell you thanks, because it's in a journey that I find myself on, and you've been a very important part. How many of you guys have children? Children? Okay, that's good. You know, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them, they will not be ashamed. You know, how blessed Bev and I are that we have six children. You know, and that responsibility falling on dad and mom and raising them up, you know. But you know what? The arrow goes further than the Bozeman. You know, they go further. They go further. And you need to understand that your kids are going to go further than what you ever would. Because they're like arrows put in the bow, and they go a long ways. That's important. And kids, you got to understand something too. That which the Lord put inside your heart, and those pieces that your mom and dad put in there, and part of the arrow, you're going to go and impact the world in a far greater way than what your mom and dad ever did. Yeah, that's true. You guys got to understand that, okay? You know, two of my arrows were sent here to this fellowship. Yes, two of them. yes. You know, and praying for children, you know, and to be led by the one. And those two that are coming were united by this guy right over here to their life mate, you know. And one is still here, and what a blessing it is to have Corwin and Katie here. Thanks to Marvin and Linda and welcoming us into the family and uniting. It's just not, well, they're over there and we're over here. There's this part that's gathered in. And then, you know, for a while, and there's this other one that was here and made that connection, you know. And Pastor Rick, he united him with the lover of his life, too. The other, I have one that arrow was sent to Nebraska, and he's been here, Bo. You know, you might know him, some of you. And then the other three are a little bit closer to home. You know, Jackson's not that far, and Petersburg's not too far, you know, and one a little bit closer than that. All of them making impact, working with people that the Lord has connected in their community with. Sometimes it's a little concerning for those arrows to go so far, but I know that God is doing something there. And if God has his plan for my kids to be in this church, thank you, Jesus. You know, because there's something that is being worked out. How reassuring it has been when we're here, because the Lord has sent these two right up here, Phyllis and Rick, my email, or maybe others. And every time we're here, there's something the Lord imparts what I need, and the need has been met. And I'm just overwhelmed by that. When Rick asked me to tell my story, I thought, how does 6 o'clock sound, you know, and I get, because, you know, you see that you have these words inside of you, and you got to speak all those words before you go to meet him. And when I was a little kid, I didn't speak much, okay? And so, you know, 6 o'clock might be the time we might be done. So if you have other things to do, that's okay. I just want you to know that there are so many words. And when Rick was talking about this here is my resume, okay? 4 pages of it. I just want you to know that's my resume of all the things that have been done and acclamations that have, but there's something far greater. Jesus, be glorified in my life. That's the greatest one. This here doesn't amount to being with him and what he's doing. There's things that I've done, and there's things that, you know, I just want you to know that the resume, it starts with those accolades. But you know what? Those 6 arrows. Jesus, I give them to you, Lord, when I see him face to face. Those are my trophies. Not only that, but there's 4 more that are here today. Huh, that Melissa over there. Yes, I'm going to claim her as a trophy of my son's helpmate. And Katie, where Katie, you know, she's part of it. And then I have 2 grandkids here. Those are like trophies to me. And those are so important because they're the ones that God has given. you know, and being Corwin's dad. You know, some of you guys recognize me maybe as Such and Brock's dad, but there's, and some of you know, Rick has told you that I'm a teacher. You know, well, I want to see if you guys, since I'm a teacher, if you did your homework today. Okay, because if, you know, if this word comes through, then he is, you guys have done your homework praying for me. That was a homework that I gave some of you, and I want you to know that I appreciate that. You know, individuals that have those so many words, well, you know, I want you to know, and some of you guys have picked up because I'm going back, but there are some issues that I have to deal with, and that is, I said you guys were fifth graders because I have a stuttering problem, okay? That's just one of the things. I also have an auditory discrimination problem. And you might say a word and correct me, and I say, I thought I said that. And then, and I say it again, they says, oh, no, it's this. Well, I can't hear the difference between that. Sorry, I can't hear the difference. I think I'm saying the exact same thing that you're saying. There's another problem, it's called alexia, and that is, you know, the reversal of letters up and down and so forth. Phyllis, she encouraged us to read books. Okay, Phyllis, I'm going to try. Okay, I can do that. I just want you to know that, you know, I in first grade I learned I cannot be like Toby and Carol and Spud and Nancy. I wasn't like them. Good job, Carol. You got an A on that test. Toby, wow, you know your facts already in fourth grade. You know, there was things like that, that this guy, I struggled. And then, you know, but I didn't understand why everyone started to laugh at me in school. In the beginning, but that was the beginning of my life song. I was like, Lord. And I didn't understand that. You know, and so my English teacher, he told me that I had to have a title. Okay, when you give a message. So my title is Let Your Life Song Sing. And then it's very simple. All you have to do is let it there be an answer when you give a speech. You give the answer to the question that you're going to ask. And so how can we let our life song sing is my question. Well, I'm going to give you the answer right now. Do what you can with what you have, with whoever you're with, wherever you are, by the whole power of the Holy Spirit. In doing so, one releases their life song to be sung. Okay, let's go, Rick. Come on. Thanks, guys, for inviting me. Oh, maybe that's not the answer. I should go on, I guess. Well, the answer may appear simple in doing. However, the path in doing is not so simple. That is when the challenges start to begin and the working. All kinds of distractions. There's decoys. There are challenges, there's barriers, there's obstacles, and sometimes detours or an alternate route is taken for a while that causes us to miss the mark for a time, and we lose track of our life song. You know, there's a competition for our life song. There's a competition that wants our song to sing another way. There's a war for the mind. There's a struggle for how we will use our skills. There's a warfare for how we'll use our hands and what we'll do. There's a battle for this right here, our heart. And the war is based on what we will believe and how we will do with what we believe. Will we believe the truth? Or will believe something else of lesser value, or even believe a lie. You know, for there is that war, a war for that mind. There's a struggle of how we'll use it. I had to believe the truth for my song to be sung. The truth is, I was wonderfully and fearfully made. In my mother's womb, God made me the way I am. And the passions, the abilities, the potential to do what I was created to do. Eye has not seen or ear has heard what is in store for me. That means from when I was born until I'm laid down into the grave, there's things that are going to be taking place that I need to press in. And Lord God, what do you want me to do? Lord, I want to hear what you're saying. Lord, what's the next step? What are you wanting me to glorify your name with? Because God has a plan for my life and for your life. Well, let's dance and let the world dance to our life song. We need to make sure that we don't believe the lie. And that lie comes in like, it'll always be this way. You don't have enough. You can't do it. It's impossible. And I had to learn the saying, something is impossible is just an excuse not to try. And not to trying will kill the life song. You know that accuser, the deceiver? He comes in and he whispers and he says, you know, I'm going to destroy you. You know, and I know this word is something for, because the warfare has been, since Rick asked me, has been just one thing after another. And it's just like, you can't share that message. Yes, I can, Lord. I'm going to do it. And deceiver, you're a liar. Get behind me. That's what we need to do of taking that challenge. One who tries totally to destroy me, he is already destroyed. My story growing up, I heard the accuser many, many times. And I also want to say, I heard the beloved who came in and he changed my life forever. My testimony I shared, you know, that auditory discrimination in first grade. Hey, let's go pray outside. Dude, let's go pray outside. Well, I want to go swing on the swings. Don't you want to go swing on the swings? Yeah, but you said pray. Gary, it is play, not pray. And I can still see my first grade teacher, Mrs. Robinson, right here. Play, pray. That's what I said. What's the difference? I don't hear anything. It sounds the same to me. The sound coming in because of where my ears, I don't know how it was created. It's just like, it's the same. And I've heard some people say, well, Gary, you mean, or Dad, you mean, right. But it was in first grade. In third grade, I didn't want to read out loud. Oh, I'm sick. Mrs. Berry, I need to go home. Mrs. Bischoff, you need to come and pick up your grandson. So Grandma Abby would come in and she would pick me up. I'd go up and get over to Grandpa and Grandma's house and go up in the loft where he had his tool in his carpentry shop. Short, you're not sick, are you? I think Grandma told Mrs. Berry not to call anymore. But it was in fifth grade. Madonna, stinking Madonna. Wrote on the board, pulled down the map, Billy loves Madonna. Mr. Sindel comes in after recess, lifts up the map. Who wrote this? Madonna. Gary did, Mr. Sindel. Gary, did you write this on the board? I didn't write that, Mr. Sindel. Gary, go over here in Mud Row. So I'm in Mud Row. My mom comes walking down the hall as a third grade teacher. Yeah. I think she had a talk with Mr. Sindel after I told her the story that I didn't write it. 2 weeks later, after Mr. Sindel was talking about making outside the fifth grade window a pond and a stream and having some bird feeders out there so we could watch all the birds and animals come in and feed, 2 weeks later, Mr. Sundell comes walking in at recess time. Guess who's at the blackboard? Madonna, writing. And it's the same penmanship. Gary got out of Mud Row. But I still didn't read for Mr. Sundell. I would not read my sixth grade teacher, Mr. Thompson. Gary, I want you to come over here in the corner behind this platform, and you just read over there. It's okay. Nobody's going to listen to you. You just go over there. So I'd go over there and get the book out and read. And the cattle in the field, he listened to me read that stink pot on the other side. And he said, "You did a good job on that just today, Gary. You were listening?" Yeah. He taught me some things that I could do. Well, you know, in high school, and we'll go on a little bit more, in high school, my three brothers, all state in basketball, football, baseball, all three of them. Gary, he broke his leg, broke his arm, and I grew up really quick. Well, with that, I also grew taller than all my brothers and sisters. And when I would stumble over the line that the coach said during basketball, because, you know, and he brought out a catcher's mask and said he, you know, would miss the pass following my brothers. But I was a drum major. I'm going to say Michigan. The drum major from Michigan was our band director, and he taught me how to twirl the baton and how to go backwards and do a kick. You know, I can't do that high anymore, but I would do that because he taught me. And so here we are coming out, and drum major Gary Koppelman, and so I come running out, do the kick, you know, and come down the field marching and so forth. And after we played the Star Spangled Banner, we come on over next to the football coach. "What are you doing in the band, Gary?" Football. Perfect specimen, right? No, thank you. Sorry. My counselor came to me in 10th grade and said, "Gary, you need to change from college prep to a general educational degree. You're not going to make it in college." Well, my mom passed away a couple of years ago, and when she passed away, I found my report cards my sophomore year when my counselor came to me. A in band, B in science, C in Spanish, 3 D's midterm. She had reason to tell me. She was counselor, you know, you're not going to make it. But I had another teacher, Mr. Klein, that says, "Gary, I see you working with those kids with your mom. You need to go out one, at least try." And so I did, and so I graduated probably with like a C average in high school, and I was on probation at Eastern Michigan University. And I had to, because I was on probation, I had to declare what my major was going to be, and that was going to be elementary ed. "Oh, Gary, you need to take this class of teaching of reading." And my prof had me go before her, and I had to read this list of words. And as I read the list of words, she would say, "Repeat 14, repeat 16, repeat 44. And I would repeat them. And then she put her hand over her mouth again. She said, "Say stegosaurus." And I would say something like "Stegosaurus." She said, "Gary, you have an auditory discrimination problem. And I see that reading that you have a dyslexia, that you're reversing letters." And she said, "Gary, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to go through that wall like everybody else. What you need to do is you need to learn to go over it, under it, around it. You can get to the other side. Stop trying to do it like everybody else." Okay, words of wisdom. There was a knocking at my door up at Eastern Michigan University, and I heard it many times. One day, my roommate Paul, his friend Greg, came over, and I was mad at Paul because he had given my stuff away in my dorm or in my apartment. and they were my things. And he gave them away, and I was ready to tear them apart. And Greg came in. I was so, you know, sitting on my bed. I was just, just wait until it comes back. I'm going to punch his lights out. Well, he walked. Greg came in. He says, "What are you so upset for, Gary?" I said, "Did you know what Paul just did? He did. He gave all my stuff away." He walked over to my bookshelf. "Huh? You got a Bible right here. You ever read this and see why you shouldn't be mad at Paul?" It's not going to tell me why you shouldn't be mad at Paul, or why I shouldn't be mad at Paul. He says, "Yeah, you need to ask the Lord to show you why you shouldn't be mad at Paul." I said, "Oh, the Bible's just going to tell me, Gary, don't be mad at Paul." He says, "No, Gary, you need to pray and ask the Lord. The Lord will tell you why you shouldn't be mad at Paul." Okay, well, how do I do that? "Lord, show Gary why you shouldn't be mad at Paul. Just ask him. I'll be back in an hour." Greg goes on out. He left the Bible in my lap. Okay, God, why shouldn't I be mad at Paul? So I open up to John. "He who has this, has not sinned, cast the first stone." Close the Bible up. Things just flooded into my mind of what I was doing to Paul, because he was my roommate for 3 years. Oh boy, Lord, if you really want me to believe I shouldn't be mad at Paul, you got to do that again. Kind of Russian roulette with, the Bible. But I opened up the Bible and I started reading. And I started reading in Matthew about the beam. Remove the beam from your eye before you remove the splinter from your brother's eye. It was like instantaneous. I don't know if he was watching outside the window or what, but here comes Greg walking into my room. He had been gone for about an hour, and I just had just closed. And I said, "How'd you know that the Bible was going to tell me that I shouldn't be mad at Paul?" And he says, "You asked him, didn't you?" I said, "Yeah. Have you ever asked him into your heart?" "What do you mean? Have you ever asked God? He stands at the door of your heart. And he knocks. And any man that opens up the door, he'll come in and he will sup with him." "Well, how do you do that?" And Greg led me to the Lord that day. "Jesus, come into my heart." I remember when I was just a little kid in the Wesleyan Methodist Church down in the basement when the pastor's wife was praying for us 5- and 6-year-olds. "Lord Jesus." And it just came back and flooding, come into his life. And I can see what God had been doing all my life, but that was a day in which I am his and he is mine. And that day there was some things that took place that my beloved opened up the door in Revelations. One of the first scripture verses I remember reading was Revelation. But I did. And going through and trying to read the Revelation. And what I remember was, "I'm going to make you a pillar in the house of the Lord. You will lead many." I'm just a little farm boy out in the sticks of Blissville, Michigan. Ottawa Lake, actually. And it was like, who me? And then, there's this working in our hearts and in my life. "The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God," in Revelations. 46 years later, my story is totally different than what I ever thought it was going to be. My desire is for the writer of my story to be glorified. It's not me, but it's the one who has come in and has worked within me. Let him be glorified as I share some things. Because you see, doing what I can with what I have, that freshman class at EMU when that professor said you can go through that wall, that was the beginning. Stop trying to do like everybody else. My grades started to change. Why? Because he was working in. I was doing things differently. I experienced things growing up, and that's how I learned. I'm an experiential learner. I experience things, and that's what changed me. And then, you know, my style of learning became my style of teaching, and my grades totally changed, you know, from the C average to going way on up. I graduated from Eastern, and it's like, now where? We were going to, with Greg, up to Detroit, and or do we find a teaching job down in the lower part of Michigan? And so we started praying, and the Lord, he opened up a door at Deerfield, Michigan, and it was like, okay, Lord, if this is where you want me to be, we have to have a church, and you know, here, because I really believe that I needed to be planted in a church, in a church body. And so we decided to attend New Life Tabernacle, and that's where we became members. And over the process of a few years, I became one of the elders, and we were on an elder retreat. And during that retreat, during the hotel had a pool, and I went into the pool, and I was laying there just thinking, oh, Lord, this is such a neat retreat. Thank you for all the things. And he says, I want you to count the beams. That still small voice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 beams. Six beams. Six beams. Pillar at that end and that end holding up the beams. I want you to count the knots. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Lord, I can't count all those knots. Okay, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 20 boards, and oh, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, about 6, okay, 20 times, 180 times. It was hundreds of thousands of knots. And with that, I heard that, this will be your impact. Hundreds of thousands. I'm in Blissville, Michigan. But the Lord, six beams, I thought, my kids, impacting. Six different countries they have gone to, touching people's lives in their heart, in Costa Rica, and in Trinidad, and China, okay? Just different places where they have gone. Yeah, that's got to be it. I started teaching at Deerfield, and after 3 years, Bev and I moved to Blissfield, and then I went to Blissfield to start a job. I interviewed, and he said, hey, Gary, what would you do with these courtyards out here, open-air courtyards? I said, well, I'd make one a life science, one a earth science, one a physical science center. Well, that's really good. No money. Okay? And then, you know, as a 20 years there, the next 20 years, we was at 9 years at Deerfield and Blissfield, and then I taught in a Christian school for 10 years. And then after 10 years, I thought I was going to be going into the pastoral role because I got my pastoral license. I thought the Lord was taking me out of education, and I got a pastoral license. When the opportunity came in, there was Bev, six kids sitting in the pew. How's this all going to work out? And I just didn't know how that it would all be done. With all the money going into the school and not in outreach, because we were building the school at our church, I just felt that I needed to turn over that role to someone else because of my commitment to my family. And so I returned to Blissfield, and the pastoral role was kind of set aside. 20 years after that first vision of those courtyards, the Blissfield Foundation for Educational Excellence came along and said, if there's teachers, if you have something you would like to do and you don't have the finances, would you share? We want to support. And so the community of Blissfield released this teacher's passion. I wonder what would happen if all teachers' passions would be released. And what I need you to do, guys back here, I'd like you to turn on that the pictures of the Life Lab. I'd like to kind of show you a little bit of that dream that was in fifth grade that came about because in fifth grade when Madonna was teasing me and I heard Mr. Sindel say something about those ponds and streams outside my classroom, this right here is the Blissfield Environmental Life Lab. It's a 40 by 60 greenhouse. Over $400,000 has been collected. And basically, it's been through grant writing. Go to the next one. And then my classroom is the Wow World of Wonder. Okay? The first thing, or person, or not person, she's almost a person because if you say a word, Buddy's gonna repeat it. And Kurt, and like, Claire, sit down. What are you doing, Brock? To Justin, get busy. And he sounds just like me. Also the custodian that dropped something. I won't say that. But that's Buddy, okay? There are various reptiles and birds. This is our desert biome. One of our bearded dragons. If you ever want a pet, this is what you need to have because the bearded dragon is like a dog. Lays her head right on your knee, the dog does. Well, this guy just kind of presses themselves right into your hand. Okay. A 1,500-gallon saltwater tank. We have a study area for teachers to come down and work on. There's amphibians and other animals to the right. There are some plant tables. This is our freshwater pond stream. Our fifth graders are zookeepers. They take care of the animals, watering and feeding them. Students come down and they're looking for various habitats, living and non-living animals, and doing various studies on body systems, growing up plants that we plant downtown Blissfield. Oh, and we have visitors that come, and you can see how the bearded dragon just kind of is right there. Or the leopard gecko. Or, yes, that is our snake. Red touches black, okay, Jack. Red touches yellow, deadly fellow. And in my classroom, as you go out, this is, you know, I can't say God in the classroom. I can't, you know, but I can't say things like God, you know, is working. But on the way to finding truth, one discovers life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Sneaky Gary. Yes, it's there. Well, you know, and then with that, I want to show you some things. Just some things that I brought along, and I did put something in here. Okay, hold, just a second. Okay. We'll just stay in there. This is something that, you know, okay, nature kind of speaks to me, and we were out at Corwin's property, and I was walking along, and there was some briars down the bottom, and this here shell was in the briars sitting there. He was wrapped in it. Okay, any of my fifth graders or students know what this is? Turtle shell, yes. It's actually a box turtle, okay? And he was trapped in. Don't get trapped in life. And the things that, you know, and things like this. This was just Saturday, we went through the morning out there to that property and saw, and that's how the Lord speaks to my heart, is through nature. Nature is declaring the glory of God. Well, we also, hold on just a second here. Okay. Well, this is a non-living lizard that we have. So we have our kindergarten students come down and look at the living and non-living animals that are found. Well, what makes things living? What things make things non-living? Okay. Okay, you guys ready? Ooh. No, it's just a plastic one, you know. But I had to bring it along. But this one here is, yellow touches red, deadly fellow, you know. And he is actually in a cage next to the Honduran milk snake that Ezra was holding. But see, we have things like that do that. Nature just speaks to my heart, and that's part of what the Lord is doing, you know. The hands-on, minds-on learning center is what it is. And I'm always looking for grants to fulfill different things, like a $30,000 wind and turbine grant that we were 11th, and they came out and visited our school, and it became number one in the state of Michigan. And then, you know, looking for a grant, I have to give it to the superintendent, and the superintendent gives back and says, well, you can apply for this one. I had given him 5 applications, and he gave me the Shell Teaching Award grant, and I thought it was a grant. And at Christmas time, I wrote the grant, and they said, you're one of the top 10. I want you to submit a video. And I told Bev, I can't do this. The money is not coming to me. It's not coming to the school. It's coming to me. I'm not going to go through this. She said, no, you need to finish the, you know. So our son, Bo, he finished, or he helped me do a video of the grant. And I won. And it was like, okay, Lord, what is this? Well, the judges came, and they looked at this. And I don't know. It's just the teacher's passion. It's like, I just want to do this type of science stuff. And with that, one of the judges said, I need to apply for the Presidential Award of Math and Science Teaching, and we won. And then, there was another one says, Gary, I'm nominating you for the Teachers Hall of Fame. You've heard of the baseball, you heard of the football Hall of Fame, right? How many of you heard of the Teachers Hall of Fame? Mm-hmm. There is such. And you, if you have a teacher that has impacted your life, that you remember back, you need to nominate them. 5 from across the United States are selected every year, and they're inducted into the Hall of Fame. Totally amazing. One of the Shell judges said, you know, Gary, you need to go for it. And then the Shell educational director, since I won the award, she nominated me. She said, Gary, you need to fill out the Global Teaching Prize. It's compared to the Nobel Peace Prize for teachers in the top 50. Totally amazing. But through that, connections were made. As a science teacher, I'm a creationist, not an evolutionist. And when I believed the truth of his word when I was in college, things started to make sense to me. Truths about the world and how it was found within his word. You know, Christopher Columbus used the word, the circumference of the earth God sits upon in Isaiah 40. Circumference, circle. Amazing. Father of oceanography, Matthew Murray, was looking in the Bible, and he read in Psalms 8, whatever moves through the currents of the oceans. Science and social study, back here in the back, you have a picture like this right here, right? It's back on that table. You need to get one of these. This is the drinking gourd right here, which is the Big Dipper. Thank you. We're going to follow the drinking gourd. You need to know your directions. I face the north where the north wind blows. Behind me is south where comes no snow. To the left is east, the sun's morning face. To the right is west, the sun's setting down face. But you also need this. If anything I teach my kids in school, it's this right here. Because if they're lost in the woods, they're escaped from their enemy, and it's nighttime, follow the drinking gourd, just like the slaves did to come to freedom. The North Star is right here. Did you know that the drinking gourd does this? It goes around. And right now, if you go outside in this time of year, it would be something about like this. You will find it. Okay? There's something else. April showers bring May flowers. Farmers, you want the rain to be falling in the fall? In the fall, it's like this. Huh. April showers, Big Dipper pouring into Little Dipper. Little Dipper can't hold it. The water falls to the ground. Fall, you don't want the rain falling because of the harvest. The rain falls into the Big Dipper, catches it all. The heavens declaring his glory. There's that back here in the back you guys can pick up, which is, I find, very intriguing. But also, do you guys know that birds fly south in the winter? They have a compass inside of them. You also have a compass. But we totally ignore it. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. But we have a compass inside of us, and we just kind of, we have this now, GPS. I'm going to follow GPS. And we'll be going down the road, and Beth says, you need to turn here. I said, no, we're going to continue going on straight. No, you need to turn here. No, we're going to go on straight. That GPS, you got to follow that. God has something is there. Well, all that to tell you this, the connections is made. You know, God has done something by day and night. Who has a watch? Do you have a watch? Oh, can I use your watch? Oh, gee. Oh, wow, look at this. This is really cool. A really cool watch, isn't it? It was designed. Somebody put it together. Yeah, yeah. Somebody put it together. Yes. Thanks, Rob. How long am I going to have to shake this for those pieces to come back together? Millions of years? Trillions of years? Will it ever go back together? Never. Never. God said, let there be light, and there was light. I'm sorry, I'm a creationist. Oh, by the way, I did. Sorry, but to make the point, the world is so magnificently made. Well, okay, let's just look at one day. This is 1,000 years of the Lord. Okay, God created a light for 3 days. No light. Then he created on the fourth day the light that comes. Okay, you know, I don't know wherever you are, where the stars sing for joy, is what Job says. Did you know it was written in the Word that when God created the earth, the stars sang? Did you know it wasn't until the 1960s? That star right there is different than that star over there because this one's going. They're singing, they're making a quiet or sound at the creation of the earth. My God is a mighty God. In Genesis, it talks about God being a trichotomy being. Let us make man in our image. After our likenesses. He is a trichotomy being, a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm a dad. My kids relate to me differently. My mom and dad, I'm a son. But I have a special relationship with my wife. A trichotomy being I am. The Bible says that. Made in his image. Our body speaks to us in different ways. Our body cries out. Our spirit groans. We hear with our natural ear. We hear with our emotional ear. We hear with our spiritual ear. This ear is the most critical as we grow. Moved by the Spirit. If we have a basketball game or football game, Ohio State playing Michigan. There's all this. I've been to those games down there at the men's retreat. And they get really excited about that game going on. They're moved by the Spirit, small s. When the Holy Spirit starts to move in one's life, great wisdom, great power is done. You know, my notes and papers and journals are evidence of a Holy Spirit moving inside. I felt it this morning. You ever notice when the Spirit starts moving, people start doing this? Everybody raise your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. When your hand starts moving, God's Spirit starts moving, and you're like trees of righteousness, oaks. Amazing. Do we get excited when the Spirit moves? There's signs and wonders with what we have. You know, all those things that, you know, when God took me to those awards, He connected me with people. He made a connection with Karen Labatt, whose husband was sick. And we prayed for him, and he was healed. Bev and I was going up in the elevator at the National Teachers Hall of Fame, and Jennifer, was the secretary at the Hall of Fame, was saying, I have this tumor, Gary, and I won't be able to be here on Sunday because we're going back, and I'm going to be going to the hospital, and this tumor is cancerous, and they're just going to have an operation, and just really concerned about it. But, you know, I appreciate you being here. Okay. Pray for Jennifer. We're in a hotel, and we're going up the elevator. The Holy Spirit moving. I said, hey, Jennifer, do you mind if Bev and I pray for you? And there just happened to be another Christian that was in the elevator with us. And she said, yes, here in this the room or the foyer at on the floor. I said, yeah, let's pray for you right here. Okay. So we laid our hands on her, and we prayed, Lord God, just touch this tumor. Let it be gone in Jesus' name. Let there not be any cancer, Lord God. We give you thanks and praise for it. Okay, that connection that I made by winning that award of taking the church outside the church. Yeah. Tuesday come. Gary, this is Jennifer. Excitement in her voice. Gary, I want to tell you something. The doctor had an operation, and he took out the lump, and it wasn't cancerous. I don't have any cancer, and it was just a little lump there. Yes. I get excited about that because, Lord God, you're using me far beyond what I thought of letting the Holy Spirit move inside of me. Get wisdom, buy wisdom, not just books, but from His Word. It's true from cover to cover. You know, there's a working right now inside of me, and it's a book called Parenting with Intimacy. And Parenting with Intimacy, I have 214 devotions out of 366 that I plan on writing. And it's just basically, how do we parent as with parents? And parenting and working. Because you see, as a teacher, I got to take it outside. My job is not to train up the child in the way he should go. I only come alongside of you for 1 year. But the parent's job is to educate. I praise God for Jody Jackson Sturley, who is now the lead swine geneticist at Iowa State, affecting the pork industry worldwide. I'm excited about Jimmy Raines, who just came back from Madrid, Spain, working on the Mars Project. Student in my classroom. I'm excited about Catherine Volk, who is just last July 7th, discovered a new planet in the Kuiper Belt. The excitement that I can impart to my kids for them to make greater discoveries than what I ever imagined. There's something about a change that's taking place in the public arena. saying, teachers, you are the one responsible. No, I'm not. I'm going to come alongside of you for 1 year. Parents, you need to meet the needs of your child. I've seen the success of kids coming out of a public school. I've seen the success of coming out of a Christian school. I've seen the success of homeschool as parents meet the needs. And they're different from each kid coming from each one of those schools. But I've also seen the failure. And the failure is this: not meeting the need. I've seen Christian kids being raised in a Christian school leaving the Christian faith, as well as in a public school and in a homeschool. We need to be pouring as parents, and that's where that devotional has come in my life. God has something far greater. You know, there's something like 4-H, and that's why somebody says, well, you support the green and white of Michigan State. It's not the football, it's not the basketball, it's the 4-H. Where I work with my kids, my six kids, where they learned a lot of stuff. And then they helped me as well. That Land Green College, it's the green and white at Ohio State. Because it's a grand land college. There's green and white at Ohio State. You know, there is something that God wants to do. He wants to use you as he used me. God uses imperfect people. Moses was a stutterer. He lacked confidence. Jonah was rebellious. Samuel was a child. David was the youngest. Jonah was disgruntled. Peter was had a temper. And Thomas was a doubter. But God used them all. I can do all things through God, through Christ who strengthens me. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. You can run through a troop and jump over a wall. You can do mighty things because God has done something great in you. There are two important words that I really believe to share with you, and that is, do it. Hearing the voice of the Holy One. And he will come in and it will whisper. And when you, and that whisperer will follow what the Bible says. This guy right up here, this lady right up here, they're going to be a trumpet being sounded to this church. Hear the trumpet sound. And the trumpet sound will align with the Word of God. And God will speak to your heart things to do, just like he did me. And it will be confirmed in the Bible. It's not society. It's not a new thing. It's not what the world does. But it is a book that is true from cover to cover, and it gives us historical lessons. Sometimes there are things he speaks to us individually and no one else. And those things, having done all, you stand. And I don't know what that means totally for this church, but there's something I really believe the Lord wants to do, and that is, if there is anyone that has a difference, let God work deep down inside, because God wants to glorify his name in this church, in this area. And there's a unity that comes when we seek his face, and there might be something you might not be allowed to do because God spoke to your heart not to do it. That's okay. But at the same time, there may be something that God is speaking that aligns to this word that you need to do and change. God has a way of doing those things. Oh, the Holy Spirit, he is at work within this body of believers. You know, man, I'm thirsty. I'm really thirsty. I can tell you how thirsty I am. I need to drink. I need to drink. I need to drink from the Word of God, the pouring out of his Holy Spirit, taking in everything that he's speaking to Gary Koppelman. It's not going to be what he's speaking to you. I'm made differently. I'm in a different area. But there are people
that are going to hell. And yet we need to hear what the Lord is speaking, and we do it. And out of that love of the Redeemer, he pours into our hearts, and our hearts are changed. Let's remember to be creative and tenacious and persistent and daring, courageous, valiant, fearless. Be a world changer by doing what you can with what you have, with whoever you're with, wherever you are, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let your life song sing before all men. Let the world dance to your music. Because you see, there is a music, there's a sound that is coming out. As parents, there's something that has been taking place. We take out the loving God out of our school and our community that showed us a way to lay down our lives. We listen to music and the beat of the music that we start following that beat. We turn on the TV like Channel 11, which was just a normal TV program, and we see and we watch with our eyes and we wonder why there's things that are happening. And then there's also, here's the iPad versus set on my lap. I'm a four computers type of programming, but it's not the excuse for not parenting. There's something that does this. Rick, I love you, bro. You're a man of God and after his heart. Go for it all. That connection with each one of you is going to make a difference in the community, that we pour out one to another. We understand what is happening. If we do what we can with what we have, with wherever we are, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit sing in your life before all men. This morning, God just really spoke to me as I was before him, and he said there are some needs. He said that to remind you that you were purchased with his blood. By his stripes you are healed. Partial to whole. The Lord wants us to stir up the gifts. And those gifts, you know, those who need a healing physically, emotionally, spiritually, and also going through the situations. I believe also the Lord wants me to pray for teachers that are here. Yeah. That God would just touch your life, to touch the children that are in the influence of your life. God has something far more than just you being a teacher in a classroom and going through the rigors, but to touch people in a far greater way than what I can. But it's to support the moms and dads in the calling for their children's life. Praise God. Thank you for inviting me. I just love you guys. You have poured into my family, and I deeply appreciate it. Go for it all. Go for what the Lord has called fellowship of the beloved, because there's something great in store.
Amen. Yay. We'll stay up here. Amen. Amen. Excellent. Gary, wow. Very, very, very good.